Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Dr. Malone joins us to discuss some very interesting vaccine news. Is this the opening to finally get some justice? And then Margo Cleveland on a story regarding a cover-up. That's right, a cover-up from the FBI regarding Joe Biden. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is the nation's most important organization in the country. So get involved, support where you can, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. There's a series of breaking stories here we have yet to cover, and it's worth getting into. Joining us now is Margo Cleveland from The Federalist. Margo, thank you so much for taking the time. What is this story here about Grassley's letter revealing 40 informants and massive obstruction? Walk us through it.
Sure. So I believe it was Wednesday, Senator Chuck Grassley, who has been for 2 years investigating evidence of corruption by the Biden family, and equally as important, the DOJ and FBI's failure to investigate and obstruction of that investigation. And as you noted, the headline seemed to be that there were as many as 40 investigators or confidential human sources. But I actually think the bigger takeaway is that Senator Grassley revealed that the Foreign Influence Task Force used an assessment that was opened up by an FBI headquarters guy to have the field offices do a search for confidential human sources, documents, reports that had the Biden family name in it, either Joe Biden, Jim Biden, or Hunter Biden. And then they used that and branded it Russian disinformation and, in some cases, closed those sources. That's a huge story. The Foreign Influence Task Force also interfered in the 2016 election by telling the different social media outlets that there was going to be, they should be on the lookout for this hack and leak story, which is exactly what fed to the censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop. So there's a lot to it, but really that is the key takeaway to me, that the Foreign Influence Task Force was involved in this attempt to close out and to brand foreign disinformation, things that were not.
So I'm just trying to understand. So this was Obama's FBI that was spying on his vice president. Is that right? Like they were investigating?
Oh, so it could have been. We don't know how long ago that this came about, what the time period was. Was it while he was vice president? Was it while he was out of office when it was the first Trump administration? So we don't know what time period it was. And we don't necessarily know that it was spying on Biden himself, because the one FD 1023 that Chuck Grassley released that came out, that came about because there was a one-line giveaway in an earlier 1023 that referenced Hunter Biden being on Burisma. So there were many legitimate investigations going on to Burisma and other Ukrainian businesses. There was one out of Cleveland that dealt with banking. And it's not that they were spying on Biden necessarily, but that there was something that triggered or included the Biden name on it. It could have been Jim Biden. It could have been Joe Biden. It could have been Hunter Biden. It could have been just a reference to businesses that were connected to Hunter Biden. So some of the Chinese businesses that we have evidence that the Biden family received money from. So I wouldn't take it so far to say that they were spying on Joe Biden or even that they were targeting Joe Biden with these confidential human sources.
So then somebody in D.C. received a lot of this information and then an official investigation was stopped or thwarted. Do we know who made that call?
Okay, so what we know was, according to the whistleblower, that Brian Auten, who was part of headquarters, FBI headquarters, opened an assessment. And Grassley says, we don't know exactly what went into that assessment, but we do know that it was targeting derogatory information about Hunter and Joe Biden. He opened that assessment. Then we know from Grassley's letter that the Foreign Influence Task Force used that assessment to then go to the field offices to find information and then branded that information wrongly Russian disinformation. We don't know who made that decision, but it looks like it was coming straight from the Foreign Influence Task Force.
And so do we know what year that was?
So that the assessment was opened in August of 2020. So it was right before the election. And one of the points that I made from this is if you look at Grassley's letter in conjunction with Brady and his testimony to the House, what we have is Brady had his team do searches for Burisma. And I believe Zavakowski, who is the head of Burisma, that is what triggered the discovery of this 1023. That happened around June of 2020. The inference that I'm making from that is they knew they were doing this search. FBI headquarters had to approve everything that was being done in Pittsburgh. Once Brady did this search, had the FBI do this search, and had this hit that connected to the Bidens, within about a month, all of a sudden you have this other assessment set up in which they then go and do a search with all of the offices, likely much broader terms that were being used. And another reason that inference makes sense is that the FBI and the Foreign Influence Task Force actually tried to brand this information about Hunter Biden and Burisma and the confidential human source that was re-interviewed in June of 2020. They tried to brand that as Russian disinformation. That was something that we got from the Grassley letter as well. So let's just walk through the sequence here. What we have is Brady is investigating tips. He has the FBI agents search for the name Burisma and I believe the name of the owner. That hits an old 2017 confidential human source report that has one line in there about Hunter Biden. That prompts the Pittsburgh office to have that confidential human source re-interviewed. That happened on June 30th, 2020. In that re-interview, the confidential human source expanded on that and said, well, yeah, this is what happened. He met with Hunter. This was to protect Burisma. This was to fire the prosecutor. When that happened, within about a month, you now have FBI headquarters who knew everything Brady was doing, open an assessment, search for derogatory information on the Bidens, and then through the Foreign Influence Task Force, brand the information coming in as Russian disinformation. So there could have been another report on one of the Chinese companies that Hunter Biden dealt with that had nothing to do necessarily with the Bidens, but that had information that matched up to all of the other evidence of Biden family corruption.
So, I mean, how many people do you think potentially were involved in the cover-up? One, 10, 50? How widespread was this?
I would guess that we're talking about 10 to 20 people who were involved in this. I don't think the very high ups in the FBI knew. One of the things Brady said was that the high ups in DOJ and FBI had his back when he needed it. So I would say it's lower than that, but I would say that the Foreign Influence Task Force, that there is probably a large group in them of that segment that was involved.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So just to summarize this, more than three dozen informants made claims against the Biden family to the FBI in a period going all the way back to his vice presidential days. The FBI central offices deliberately ignored these claims, often telling regional offices to do nothing when they thought there was a lead. The FBI dismissed credible allegations as foreign disinformation, just like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop. And more recently, we know that DOJ pressured the IRS to not bring charges, especially with the Treasury Department foreign action reports that were coming through with wire transfers. Margo, but you don't believe the top levels of the FBI were involved. Tell us why.
I do not think Chris Wray was involved. I don't know below him who they were, but Chris Wray strikes me as a company man who has a great reputation, who has no idea what the inmates are doing in the asylum. And I've called for him to be hauled up for an impeachment inquiry numerous times. And now I think we've way past that point, given the involvement of the Foreign Influence Task Force, a task force he created. I think he's the wrong guy for the job. I don't think he knew what was going on. But at this point, he does. And his leadership can't continue. But I think there's a difference between someone being a weak leader, someone not familiar with what's going on, and someone like James Comey, who I think he was involved in what was happening to take Trump down.
So then Republicans are now tasked with oversight. What is the best way to get the complete picture here if you were to give advice to House Republicans?
Well, Grassley's letter listed, I think, 25 names that they should call in front of the committee and have questioned. I think that that is a great place to start. Again, I'd also say we need to do an impeachment inquiry on Wray, and we need to stop pussyfooting around and letting them hide and saying, oh, we're not giving you that information. They had a chance to take the evidence against the Biden family and run it to the ground. They didn't do it. All of that is now properly before the House, and that's half of it. We have half of it, what the Biden family did and was not investigated. And the second half is what the DOJ and the FBI did to not investigate, to cover up, to obstruct the investigations. Both of those are things before the House, and the best way to do it is to bring those 25 witnesses in, get an impeachment inquiry against Wray, against Garland, and start getting the documents and the questions answered through subpoena and contempt if necessary.
Yeah, some people in our audience will find it hard to believe, though, Margo, that Christopher Wray didn't know that it was going on. And so is it just that you believe that he is just kind of MIA, too much time in the Adirondacks type deal?
I think that, and I'm basing this on his reputation and from people that I trust who speak of his reputation, that I don't see him being involved in the way Comey was. I see him as the front man who's just not the right guy for this job. But he knows it now. Whether he knew it then doesn't matter. At this point, he should be shutting down the Foreign Influence Task Force, and he should be investigating and finding out what happened with this. Maybe he is. I doubt it, though.
Margo Cleveland, thank you so much. We'll have you on soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
I want to play a piece of Jesse Waters here, summarizing some of that. We'll play 140, then 141. Play 140.
Senator Chuck Grassley just announced that the Federal Bureau of Investigation has had 40 informants inside the Biden family for the last 15 years. Grassley says FBI headquarters deliberately smeared criminal information coming from FBI informants about the Biden family as foreign disinformation, when in fact, after an exhaustive examination, there's never been any information that any of this has been foreign.
And then 141, please.
The FBI used Biden to get revenge on Trump. They got a dirty politician elected so they could defeat a politician who caught them trying to frame him and fired their director. And now we have a compromised president in the White House being protected by a rogue gang of sick agents.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out The Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now. Just some breaking news. Looks like Israel is going to move into Gaza. A couple things. Their spokesman came out, said ground forces are expanding their operations tonight. But more specifically, Israeli military spokesman says, we call on the residents of Gaza City to immediately move south as air bombardments and internet and electricity have been further cut into Gaza. We'll keep a close eye on this. Again, that could be just kind of ruminations, bluster. We've kind of heard similar chatter, but it looks like an invasion is imminent. Joining us now is one of my favorite guests, Dr. Robert Malone. Doctor, thank you so much for taking the time. You know, doctor, I recently was in Walgreens buying some over-the-counter medication for my allergies, and I was shocked. People still wait in line to get the COVID vaccine. That was interesting to see actually people want it. I guess, vaccination rates are down significantly, but there's some news that I want you to walk us through. Adulteration, I think I said that right, of pseudo-mRNA vaccines. What is it and why should you care, Dr. Malone?
That's right. Thou shalt not commit adulteration would be the key watchword for the FDA. It's actually in their original congressional charter. And adulteration is basically any contamination in a drug or a food product or a medical device that is not defined on the label. So just to give you a ridiculous example, if you're eating food and some prepared food product and there's a certain amount of rat feces, well, that would be okay if it says on the label contains less than 0.01% rat feces. I'm being a little facetious, but actually that goes back to the original charter of the FDA, which had to do with a lot of the things that happened in the Chicago slaughterhouse industry. Remember, it's food and drugs. So in the case of drugs, anything that is in the product that is not previously disclosed as a contaminant is an adulterant. That's the origin of the term. It's a technical term. And what this is all about, and a lot of people are really getting quite spun up over this, And this is not, programmable nanobots that are going to change your mind or any of those other kind of conspiracy things that have been floated. This is real. There's two high-end DNA sequencing labs that have demonstrated, one in the United States and one in Canada, have demonstrated the presence of significant amounts of short fragments of DNA. And this comes from the manufacturing process that's being used for these RNA vaccines. And these short DNAs are being included in the RNA vaccine, quote, pseudo RNA, pseudo vaccine formulations, so that the DNA fragments are being delivered to the cells in your body. Well, so does that matter or not? These short DNA fragments, up to 200 bases or more, are pretty much, if I wanted to design an experiment to cause mutations in your genome, this is what I would do. So this is being done apparently without the knowledge or awareness of the FDA, the European Medicines Agency, Health Canada, et cetera. They were not aware that there was this level of contamination. And they're scrambling right now, largely in denial and coming up with various excuses. And in particular, one of the preparations, the Pfizer BioNTech preparation, has some of those DNA fragments that contain parts of a virus called SV40. And many people are quite alarmed about that because SV40 is associated with cancer, solid sarcomas, so solid tumor cancers. And it was contaminating the early Sabin vaccine products. This is not full-length SV40, and it does not include the part of SV40 that causes the most cancer, which is the large T antigen. So anybody that's aware of this, I want to put your mind to rest about that. That's been a little bit overplayed. But the presence of the short DNA fragments that can be delivered into the cells of your body, and as we know from the early documents, will go to the ovaries, represents a true risk for alteration of genome integrity. In other words, affecting the integrity of your genes, of your DNA. And if it goes to ovary, then that has implications potentially for birth defects. So those are real problems, and they absolutely merit a more careful investigation of risk. But in the meantime, adulteration meets the criteria for something which would normally cause a hold to be placed on a product. And if that product is not withdrawn voluntarily from the shelves by the manufacturer, then it can be seized. This also appears to meet the criteria or fraud, in that some of these things were hidden from the FDA, apparently. That's what the data suggests and the information. And if fraud has occurred, then the bail of indemnification, that means the liability protection that the manufacturers have enjoyed, courtesy of our government, would be, the technical term is pierced. And so people potentially could then sue the manufacturers or a variety of things, including damages that they might have received from the vaccine. So that's why this matters.
What is the likelihood? Because the law that Ronald Reagan put into effect in 87 or whatever, indemnified all of the vaccine manufacturers, and they created the, various, the vaccine adverse events pool, right? So that all those get figured out. Is that open up now a fraud case? Is that the difference now?
That's what a lot of folks are getting excited about. Werner Mendenhall, who's one of the lead attorneys in this space, believes that this will pierce the veil of indemnification. And you're correct in pointing out, Charlie, that was the initial indemnification legislation. But then there's been two others since then that have to with pandemic preparedness. And so they're kind of stacked on top of each other. And they build quite a substantial wall for the attorneys. But it appears if the data and the current documentation is correct, that people are able to access, It appears that Pfizer and Moderna have not been open and transparent about this issue with the FDA. And then that would overcome the objection that has been forwarded by Pfizer's lawyers, that which is essentially, we didn't commit fraud. We delivered the fraud the government ordered us or purchased from us. And that has been a problem up till now.
Have you seen any evidence that the vaccine manufacturers are nervous? So I understand the excitement on the side of people that want justice, but have you seen any anxiety from the actual manufacturers of these products themselves? Deflection, paranoia, preemptive defense?
What I have seen, I think deflection is a good phrase. There is a statement from Pfizer that is obfuscational. In other words, they're trying to kind of cover this up a little bit and say, well, we really did sort of tell the FDA. We didn't point these things out to them, but there was some information in our documentation about this, especially about the SV40 sequences. They appear to have deleted the designation on the plasmid map that they provided to the FDA that said SV40 sequences and pointed those out, which would normally be present in any plasmid map. That appears to have somehow been scrubbed. But then they're saying, well, we did give the FDA the sequences, and if they didn't run it through their own mapping program, then it's their bad, just because we didn't tell them and point out to them where the problem was. So there seems to be at least Pfizer communications, but I haven't tracked them back to the source document. But there's indications that Pfizer is currently trying to make the case that, well, this really isn't that bad. We sort of told the FDA, not completely, but sort of, and so what?
And Pfizer's stock is down 32% this year, and they're running aggressive advertising right now to try to increase vaccination rates. So if adulteration is in fact true, which is an if, then would they be obligated to remove this product from the market, which would be one of the most embarrassing retreats in the history of a product ever pushed, in the history of the species, quite honestly?
Yeah, I've discussed this extensively, including the other day with Joe Latipo, Dr. Joe Latipo, the Surgeon General of the state of Florida. And in that private conversation, my sense was that he was completely convinced this met the criteria for adulteration. Most experts that have looked at this concur that this does appear to be adulteration. And now we're down to arguing about the fine details of levels of acceptable DNA contamination, which is really spurious because this is a very different situation. These particles will deliver the DNA. It's not like regular DNA contamination. So I not only is Pfizer market cap down, but also BioNTech and Moderna, and that's a substantial slide. And my sense is that this there's many people that have looked at this that are have expertise, have concluded that this does meet criteria of adulteration. And if so, that triggers a very structured process. And it's kind of a separate group in FDA that handles these kinds of complaints. So it's almost like an ombudsman's office. They're outside of the Center for Drugs and the Center for Biologics. So Peter Marks isn't in the chain of command for this. And so potentially, if these data are appropriately submitted to this parallel group within FDA, they will have to act. They will have to make a decision. And one of the problems here is that the FDA is on both sides of the table. And so if they don't take action, then I think it is within the purview of states' attorney generals to see the product. Okay?
Yeah, the attorneys general is a really interesting wrinkle. Let's talk about that because that's where there's a lot of power in red states, but they've been lackluster. Here's a chance in the step up. What's the most important part of the story that you think is not being mentioned you want to build out, Dr. Malone?
Most important story, part of the story here for all of your listeners is, but they already know the answer. If you've taken one, don't take two. If you've taken two, don't take three. If you've taken three, don't take four. The data have come in from all over the world that the multiply vaccinated or inoculated are the ones at highest risk for becoming diseased with SARS-CoV-2. It's called negative effectiveness. And now we have another reason to think twice about taking this, something that you can share with your colleagues who perhaps are still in the narrative, which is that these products are delivering short fragments of DNA into your body, and they will cause genetic changes. And this may be one of the drivers behind the, quote, turbo cancers that we're seeing arise. There's two categories of late onset adverse events that doctors all over the world are concerned about. One of them is autoimmune diseases. That seems to be surging right now in the post-inoculated. And the other one is these very aggressive cancers, particularly leukemias and lymphomas. And those are types of cancers that are easily provoked by things which could cause damage to the genome of those stem cells that give rise to those blood cells. And so it now appears that we have a whole new mechanism, one which was not considered by the all of the regulatory authorities all over the world. And the risk associated with that of this DNA contamination appears to have been largely hidden by the pharmaceutical manufacturers. And absolutely, there's evidence that Pfizer, which has this anomalous simian virus 40 sequence in those DNA fragments, this is not the whole simian virus 40, but it's fragments of some of those DNAs that are also contaminating the Pfizer vaccine products. So this gives rise to potential risks for cancer and potential risks for effects.
Yeah, let me just ask you really quick, Dr. Malone. Some people are afraid of shedding. Is that a serious threat for a non-vaccinated individual to receive SV40 via shedding, and then just more broadly about shedding?
No, so this is not simian virus 40. Again, I want to emphasize that. This is small DNA fragments from its origin of replication and a promoter enhancer. This is a genetic switch derived from that, but it doesn't have the main bad actor from SV40, which is the large T antigen. Is shedding a risk? Is a super important question, one which should have been answered by the FDA, but they avoided having that answer required because they classified these as vaccine products, not gene therapy products. And so I can't give anybody, and I get this question all the time, I can't give anybody a direct answer because we don't have the data. We do know that these products are shed in breast milk, and therefore it is reasonably likely that they may also be shed in sweat. And that's kind of as much as we have documentation for about the shedding problem.
So, Dr. Malone, in closing, are you optimistic that we're getting closer to some form of justice here? Because an injustice was perpetrated on the species.
I am cautiously optimistic that this may be a breakthrough. It is a hot, evolving topic. I know it's a little bit wonky, but in the domain where I exist, in those that work on DNA sequencing and characterization and pharmaceuticals, this is a big story. And it appears, according to many of the lawyers in this area, that it may well get us over that barrier, that boundary that allows lawsuits to start happening.
Yeah, look, I'm no fan of trial lawyers, but I certainly hope that they get deployed on this. If there's one time I'm going to be cheering for the trial lawyer lobby, this will be the time. Go all-you-can-eat buffet, guys. Go after Pfizer, yeah, AstraZeneca, right. Moderna, Johnson & Johnson.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right? I think trial lawyers have largely made America overly cautious, risk-averse, increasingly litigious, expensive. But honestly, trial lawyers could end up doing a really good good thing for humanity.
Well, and this is another argument in favor of overturning the Chevron deference.
Yes, no, that's right.
Absolutely needs to be done.
Dr. Malone, thank you. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.